Welcome to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast, informing, encouraging, and supporting your church. Your hosts are Michael Martin and Dan Busby from ECFA.
Welcome, everyone, to another Excellence in Church Administration podcast. This is Dan Busby, and I'm here with podcast co-host Michael Martin. So, Michael, this isn't just any ordinary podcast. We have something very special in store today, right?
Absolutely. What I would say is if you're needing a little inspiration or encouragement today, or maybe you just love to hear awesome testimonies of what God is doing across the church as a whole, we have just the thing for you. Recently, I had the opportunity to visit with Ryan Burns, who serves as Director of Operations at our ECFA member, Redemption Hill Church. Redemption Hill was a new church plant just about 10 years ago and has been on an amazing journey of ministry ever since under the leadership of the elders and Pastor Robert Green. I'm really excited for everyone to hear more of Ryan's testimony and his church's journey, and really also how ECFA has been a blessing to them along the way.
Great, Michael. I'm excited to hear more. Let's turn now to your interview with Ryan. We hope Redemption Hill's story of enhancing trust is an encouragement to you.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. This is Michael Martin with ECFA, and I'm excited today to be joined by a good friend of mine, Ryan Burns. Ryan is the Director of Operations at Redemption Hill Church in Richmond, Virginia. How are you doing today, Ryan?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Hey, we're doing well here at ECFA and enjoying the summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, for all those listening, I just want to give a quick introduction and, you know, give you an opportunity for folks to hear from you and your story. I think we've known each other now for a couple years after Redemption Hill Church became an ECFA member, and I had an opportunity to be down in Richmond with you recently and hear about some of the amazing things that God is doing through the ministry. And so I just want to take some time to share that story and for other folks to have the privilege of hearing that from you. So why don't you just jump in, Ryan? Tell us a little bit about yourself and also Redemption Hill.
Sure. So my name is Ryan Burns. I am the Director of Operations here at Redemption Hill Church. The church itself, let's see, we are about 9.5 years old. We'll turn 10 this coming January, and like most church plants, we started with just a handful of men and women and a few kids, and just a desire to see a church planted in Richmond. And so started small, started meeting in a school about 6 months into the church plant, and to this day, we're still in that school. We went from, you know, that handful of families to now probably on a Sunday we have around 700 adults and kids. We have two congregations now, and just, you know, at the end of the day, just trying to remain faithful and preaching the good news of Jesus to as many people as we can here in Richmond and anywhere else God would open a door for us to go.
Hey, that's awesome. Congratulations on 10 years. What a huge milestone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you and I, in talking previously, you shared that when you first came on staff, you were the one who said, I'll come and I'm very happy to serve here in the ministry, but the one thing that I really don't want anything to do with is managing the church finances. So tell us a little bit about what changed, obviously, with that role that you're in now.
Yeah, it's kind of the story of my life. When I was in college, I was I was studying marketing, and in the business department, you have to take accounting. And about halfway through the semester, I called my dad and I was like, "Dad, I think I need to drop out of accounting." And his reply was, "What? You can't add and subtract?" And,
right.
But that kind of started my love-hate relationship with accounting. So I ended up actually dropping the class and changing my major to get away from that class. But when the first time I moved to Richmond, the position I took with the church was primarily campus ministry, but that's really when I started getting involved a lot more in church administration. And I started doing bookkeeping and stuff for the church there. And there were aspects of it that I enjoyed, and then other aspects that I didn't, and probably more that I didn't. So when I had called my buddy Robert, the lead pastor here, and was telling him that we were looking to move back, and he said, "Well, we might have a space for you on staff." And I said, "Okay, well, I just really don't want to do the bookkeeping." And he was like, "Oh no, that's taken care of. Somebody else is already doing that. You're all good. We got all this other stuff that you can work on." I was like, "All right, great." So then when, you know, kind of my role, you know, in a church plant, nobody's roles are very solidified. You've got to be fluid and changing and willing to take on things that maybe weren't in your initial scope. And so, you know, with operations, a lot of what I was doing was coming in and trying to figure out what all's going on, how can we kind of improve it, where can we put in systems and structures and policies and procedures to really make everything operate more efficiently and effectively. And so, you know, I just started kind of noticing with the accounting and stuff, everything was great, but, you know, we were 2 years in, and I think you know, we were still kind of keeping all our records in a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. And I was like, you know, we're kind of getting at the point where that's probably not the best idea. And so I just slowly kind of was like, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and take this over, you know, and began to really think through, okay, well, what are the best practices and policies for the financial aspects of the ministry? And that's actually where I kind of first got introduced to the ECFA. You know, I was sitting there and looking at how we were operating, which was, you know, they were doing a lot of really great things. They had, you know, accounts receivable teams, they were outsourcing some of the bookkeeping. But I'm a bit of a control freak. And so, you know, it was challenging for me to not have instant access to, you know, our you know, P&Ls and stuff like that, you know, having to send a request off to our bookkeeper in Texas or wherever she was. And so I just began to look at bringing that all in-house and what that would look like. And, you know, I started to search for what are the best practices for our financial integrity as a church. And, you know, as I'm searching around, I land on the ECFA website and start reading the resources and everything. And, you know, it kind of becomes clear to me that you know, the standards that are put forth by the ECFA and the different things were just really good goals to set for us. You know, good targets to shoot for if we're trying to build a financial system that has integrity and honesty and transparency. You know, as I read through the materials on the ECFA website, I said, "Well, let's just use this checklist." And that's really where our introduction and our journey began with the ECFA. And so, actually what I did was there's a way on the website, I don't know if it still exists anymore, but you could actually download a hard copy of the application. And I just sat there and went through the application and said, well, where would I have to check? No, we don't qualify. You know, what things are we not doing? And then I sat down and I said, well, I'm going to write a policy manual. And I basically just wrote our policy manual based on the application of the standards that you guys have set forth. And I said, okay, this is what we're going to do from here on out.
Wow. No, that's an amazing story. And that is so our heart at ECFA. We certainly love the opportunity to serve all those that have gone through that application process and become certified. But in terms of, you mentioned the resources that are available on the website, we see our mission at ECFA as enhancing trust in the broader body of Christ. So it's just amazing that story of how some of those resources early on for someone who was new to that role was really a blessing to you guys.
Oh yeah. And it was at that same time, you know, so like most churches, we have an annual gathering where we kind of present the budget and, you know, look over last year's financials and stuff like that. And so one of the things that I began to do, even in those early stages, so this was probably 6 years ago in one of those meetings, I said, you know, we're starting to bring a little bit more of our accounting and bookkeeping in-house. But our desire is to make sure that we operate with the highest level of integrity that we can. We realize that, you know, as you, the members of Redemption Hill Church are entrusting us with your financial gifts, like, we want to make sure that you can know that we're doing everything within our power to make sure that how we're set up is to operate with integrity. And so that was actually the first time that I probably even mentioned the ECFA to the congregation, and I probably said something like, you know, at our current state, you know, we don't necessarily qualify to begin applying to be accredited, but I want you guys to know that these are the standards that we're shooting for. And I was able to, you know, give them the website and say, look, this is the target that we're shooting at. This is, you know, someday we hope to maybe be accredited, but even if we're not, we're still going to work to have this level of integrity when it comes to the stewardship of the resources that have been entrusted to us. And so, so that's something that early on, you know, we always wanted to communicate with the congregation, is that we take this seriously. Like, this is a big deal that you're, you know, God has blessed you with resources, and you in turn have been faithful to entrust them to us for the furthering of God's kingdom and the gospel advancement in our city and around the world. And so we want you to know that we take this seriously.
Man, I love how you really just cast the vision so beautifully for the congregation. And really, at an early on point in the life and history of your church, you incorporated this as part of your DNA. You know, tell us a little bit, what was the reaction that you received? I'd love to hear from the congregation, but also from Pastor Robert, the elders, and some of the leadership team as you shared about ECFA. What kind of support, or were there others who kind of rallied around you as you set the vision, led the charge forward to incorporating this kind of culture of financial integrity?
Yeah, so I think that was there from the very beginning, which is something that I've always appreciated. You know, it wasn't like I came in and said, okay, well, now we're going to have financial integrity. But, you know, they were really striving for that before I got there. And so they just kind of passed the baton to me. And so when I sat down and said, okay, look, you know, here's this organization, these are the standards that they have, this is like what it would take to be accredited, and so I'm going to create a policy and procedure manual for our different, you know, accounts receivable, accounts payable, reconciliation teams, and how we all interact, you know, this is going to be the standard that I use. And they all kind of looked at it and goes, awesome, that's great, we love it, let's do it. And then as we began to present it to the church, you know, I think I was thinking about this the other day, you know, ECFA's slogan or whatever of enhancing trust. What's pretty amazing, at least in our experience, I don't know if this is across the board for church plants, is that there's a high level of trust within the congregation. Like, especially in the early years when it's very much smaller and more intimate, and there's a lot more personal connection maybe between the congregation and the pastoral staff and elders, that there's this trust that is just inherent in the relationship. And so that exists. And so what I think ECFA and kind of the standards and what they helped us put together was something that really just, like you said, enhances that trust. Like, we were able to look at the congregation and say, you know, thank you that you trust us to operate in integrity, but like, we just want to be abundantly clear, this is the level of integrity that we're operating within. These are the standards that we have. These are the policies that we have. If you ever have questions, you know, come and talk to us about that. And what we've seen is that really does enhance the trust between the congregation and us as those that are responsible for stewarding the finances of the church. So, you know, even from those early meetings until pretty much every year when we have that budget talk, you know, we're always talking about the ECFA and our standards and our desire for integrity, and being transparent with the steps that we're taking, where we fall short, where we're improving or need to improve. And the response from the congregation is always so positive. I mean, it, you know, to have people come up after a business meeting and just be like, thank you. for all that you're doing. And, you know, I looked at these things, you know, these standards. I think during our last meeting, the last meeting we had was actually after our, when we had finally gotten accreditation, and, I had a copy. There's a book that you guys had sent me, and it's like 60 or 70 pages that just walks through the standards. And I told the congregation, I was like, you know, I've got a copy of this at my desk if anybody wants to borrow it. And I had people come up to me and like, hey, can I check out that book? And they like read it and came back and they're like, this is great. So
I'll tell you what, I love your church.
Yeah, me too. They're great.
No, that's awesome. When I was down with you guys in Richmond, we were talking about the history and story there. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but as I remember you telling the story, you were talking about how you had known for several years and the elders and leadership knew you were working towards and you knew the importance of it. But when you were going to make that announcement that we finally reached this milestone and you knew it was important and folks that run your leadership team knew it was important.
Yeah.
But you were really blown away and surprised by the reaction. I think you said maybe there was an applause that broke out when you guys had shared that you had reached that milestone.
Yeah, I mean that's totally right. Like I understand the importance of it. It's super important to me. It is something that I am passionate about. And it's something that the pastors and elders that they believe is very important for us. And so, you know, when I finally got our approval for accreditation, I was super excited. And, you know, I was talking to Robert and saying, you know, I don't really know how to roll this out to the congregation. I'd like to make it a big deal. But I don't know if like an email or what, or I wasn't sure. And I said, well, let's just sit on it. We were still a couple months out from our annual meeting where we talk about the finances and stuff. And I said, well, let's just save it for that. And so it was really great. I got up and like you said, I was like, I wonder how they're going to react. Like, okay, I'm super pumped. And so, but am I going to be like, oh, we got accredited by ECFA this year. And this is going to be like just dead silence. Like, okay. So I had no idea what the reaction would be. And so as we're giving updates, I was able to say, you know, look, for years now, we've been talking about our desire for financial integrity and operating at the best level of standards that we can for stewardship. And I said, you know, we've always talked about the ECFA as kind of the gold standard of what we're aiming towards. And I said, and I'm excited to let you know that this year we applied for accreditation and we actually were approved. And you know, there were definitely like applause and like people were genuinely excited. And that really, it made me feel good in the sense of like they do get it. Like we've talked about this is important and they've encouraged us along the way, but like, no, they really do appreciate this. So that was, that felt really good, to be able to share that with the congregation and have them respond, enthusiastically as well.
Yeah, I love that story and thought it'd be helpful as we're in communication and talking with so many churches that are considering going through the ECFA process that were in your shoes, in terms of utilizing a lot of the resources, but just wondering how busy they are. Is this something that we should devote our time towards in terms of going through the application process? And what is the congregation's reaction really going to be? And so I just think that's so, so encouraging. You know, one of the other questions I wanted to ask you, I'd love to hear, was there anything about the application process that was surprising to you, or maybe tell those that are considering or going through the process, what was the experience like for you as you walked through that and as you interacted with the team here at ECFA?
Yeah, the application process was great. You know, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I'd seen the application and kind of built our policies around it. But, you know, to actually sit down and fill it out was, you know, again, it's just that opportunity, you know, and we've renewed once since then. So to be able to sit down and just go through those questions again, like, okay, are we doing this? Yes. Are we doing this? Yes. Do you have policies for these things? So it's just that constant reminder of what we need to be doing to operate with integrity. And so, I filled it all out. I finally got everything in place and all the documents uploaded and everything, and just kind of hit send. And I was kind of like, okay, I guess I'll get a letter in the mail or something. And so I think what I appreciated most about the process was, once I got that, I think we had several emails back and forth, between maybe me and you and other members of the staff there at ECFA. And then, to sit down on I think we had maybe two or three phone calls between, me and you, where it was, it was looking deeper into my answers. You get a lot of check boxes, upload this document, that sort of thing. But it was like, okay, well, I see in your policies, that you have X, Y, and Z. We really like to see this. And can you explain how that actually operates in your church? And so, it's not just like ECFA is going, all right, we got your application check and, you've checked all the right boxes. So congratulations, here's your sticker. But that it really is, I was impressed with you guys' desire to actually understand what we were doing and how we were doing it, and making sure that to the best of your ability, as a outside agent looking in, that you can say, yeah, we actually believe that these guys are operating with the level of integrity that we've set forth in our standards. So that was a really cool part of the experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so encouraging for us to hear, and definitely our heart. As I probably described to you on those phone calls, we really see ourselves as a ministry partner. And for us, it's not just about an application form or a fee or anything like that, but we really want to get to know the churches who are members at ECFA and come alongside you in the journey that God has for you in ministry. Well, speaking of which, and maybe shifting gears here, just thinking about the story you shared about coming up on your 10th anniversary as a church plant and all that you've walked through, we interact with a lot of new churches and church plants here at ECFA. I know from hearing stories from those that are out there on the front lines that it's not easy. And so what encouragement for church planners or those that have been in your shoes? Maybe just share a quick word.
Yeah, so I mean, specifically as it relates to finances, like, no church planter is sitting there going, man, I can't wait to, go plant a church so I can do budgets and set up, accounts receivable teams. That's just not what excites most church planters. But the reality is, like, the financial integrity of what you're doing is just so, so important. And as a church plant, you set the pattern very early in the life of that church of the value that you're going to place on financial integrity and transparency, and how you operate. And so, my encouragement is to take that seriously. And, it's easy to look at the resources that are available through ECFA, or even just do what I did and download the application, just so you as a church planter, or if you're part of a church plant team, that you can look and say, okay, well, this is really good operating policy and procedure of how we should handle our different aspects of the financial team. Having division of duties, making sure that there are multiple sets of eyes on all transactions that are coming in and going out, and really setting yourself up for success. The earlier you kind of get somebody on board to help you with that, whether it be, through hiring or through volunteers, making that a priority is going to go a long way of like I said earlier, enhancing that trust. There's going to be some inherent trust that's given to you as a church planter or a church plant team. the question is just, what are you going to do with that trust? Are you just going to keep riding it as long as you can? Or are you going to actually do something to enhance that trust and put in those safeguards so that you can look at the congregation who is entrusting the finances to you, that you can look them in the eye and say, look, we're doing everything we can to make sure that we operate with integrity in this area. And it'll pay dividends, but it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah, Ryan, I love the way that you explained that, because a lot of times as we talk about stewardship, we think about it in terms of finances or property or maybe the physical, tangible things that God has blessed us with. But I love how you describe that concept with trust as well, in the sense of there's that inherent level there and so important to ministry and how we're going to steward it. I love how you describe that. Well, hey, as we close up the podcast, maybe tell us what's next for you guys on the horizon, and where do you see the Lord leading Redemption Hill next?
For us, I think it's just a matter of continuing to be faithful. That's kind of been, as I observe from the outside and from the inside, that, you know, there's just this desire to be faithful with what God does in and through us. And so we want to preach the gospel faithfully. We want to take the gospel out into the city and around the world faithfully. Should God choose to do that with giving us a huge budget or a small budget, with a lot of people, with a little bit of people, at the end of the day, I think that's one of the things that, you know, when you look to the horizon of Redemption Hill, that's the horizon. That's the sort of thing that I want to look towards and see is a church that's faithful.
Well, I can't think of any better way to end our time together than with what you just said. As we look back at the story of Redemption Hill and just the last 10 years of what God's been doing, I think he's definitely been rewarding the heart that you have to be faithful. And so it's our privilege at ECFA to even be just a small part of that story. And I just want to thank you again. I know you're a busy guy. So thanks for the time you spent with us, Ryan, and I just pray that God continues to bless the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. I thank you guys for all that you've done for us. You've been a part of the story and helped us to get here, so thank you.
Michael, thanks again to you and Ryan for a great job with that interview. To me, one of the many takeaways from what Ryan shared is that it's never too early to start reinforcing your church's culture of financial integrity. Even as a new church plant, I love how Ryan and the team at Redemption Hill started early by seeking out the highest standards and then basing their church's systems and structures around those standards.
That's exactly right, Dan. I think that's such an amazing encouragement. And of course, as I've shared when we talk to so many other leaders like Ryan in newer churches or those that are maybe in transitional seasons, it's always better to have those standards in mind as you initially craft those systems and structures rather than have to go back and unwind things later on down the road.
That's exactly right. And along those lines, we do want to offer help for those who are interested with a free short ebook called 5 Building Blocks of Church Financial Integrity. This resource will walk your church step by step through those high standards Ryan referred to, including a helpful checklist. It's a free download at ecfa.church, or you can email us at podcast@ecfa.org for your copy.
That's right. I also want to mention for churches out there interested in enhancing trust through ECFA membership, you can learn more at ecfa.church/join, or you can call me at 800-323-9473. At ECFA, we actually recently introduced a newly simplified application for certification that's designed with busy church leaders like you in mind. And we'd love to help walk you through the process of becoming an ECFA member, just like Redemption Hill. Last thing I'll say is we're so blessed here at ECFA to hear encouraging stories all the time of enhanced trust. But if you're an ECFA member and you have stories or testimonies that you'd like to share with us, please don't hesitate to reach out. It would really make our day to hear from you. And as we wrap up here, I just want to say thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to today's podcast. You can catch more episodes of the Excellence in Church Administration podcast on iTunes or on our website at ecfa.church. Well, until next time, be encouraged and keep up the great work. We believe in you and are here to stand with you as you seek to honor the Lord and enhance trust in your church.